You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you probably noticed the new introduction at the start of this episode today. For those of you who are wondering or don't already know, Plain Bible Teaching is just me. There's not some bigger group of people who are working as part of Plain Bible Teaching. The individuals that you hear in the introduction, whether from the previous episodes or this new introduction starting with this episode, they're not part of Plain Bible Teaching. They are simply voice artists who made their services available on Fiverr.com, and I sent them a script. They recorded themselves speaking it, and then I have that as a new podcast introduction. The reason why I had a new introduction recorded was to change the stated purpose of the podcast. Previously, I said that we were discussing current events from a biblical perspective, and I still intend to do that here. However, it felt like some of the topics that we were discussing over the last several weeks or months didn't exactly fall into the category of current events as we typically think of that term, at least the way I think of that term. On the podcast, we're discussing things that I think are currently relevant, not just current events, but also the direction the religious world is moving, as well as interesting archaeological discoveries and things like that. So I broadened the stated scope of the podcast. On the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, we are discussing current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. In reality, the content of the podcast really isn't changing, but I thought that this change in wording would better represent what we're discussing here from week to week. Now, in the past, several years ago, what I would do was I would write articles on Plain Bible Teaching about some of these sorts of topics, current events and things like that. But for the last several years, I've tried to focus mainly, as far as my articles are concerned, on so-called evergreen content, which is a blogging term that describes material that is always relevant. And since the Bible is always relevant, I wanted to focus my writing on articles that could be shared again and again and still be just as useful as when they were first posted. I didn't like how some of the articles that I had written back 10, 12, 15 years ago, some of those articles became very dated because they were so heavily focused on what was in the news at that moment. The podcast seems to be a better medium for dealing with those types of issues. So that's what I plan to continue to discuss here on the podcast: current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. So I wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning of this episode, just to explain why we had a new introduction at the beginning of this episode, and really what we're going to be talking about, what we have been talking about as we go forward with the podcast. Again, not really that anything's changing as far as the content, but I wanted to be more clear as far as what we are doing and what you can expect as you tune into the podcast each week. Now, this episode today is being released on November 4th, 2021. And this week, we're going to be talking about a church in Tennessee that has filed a lawsuit to determine whether the property deed that prohibits instrumental music is binding. The Otter Creek Church of Christ acquired property from the West End Church of Christ last year, and this prohibition was written into the deed for that property that they acquired. Now they want a judge to determine whether that is binding. For links to the story we'll be talking about, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/110421. Now for our story this week. The Church of Christ in Brentwood asks judge to strike no musical instrument clause in land deed. From the Tennessean, says a Brentwood-based church is saying it should be allowed to use instruments in worship at a new Nashville campus despite its 1943 deed saying otherwise. Otter Creek Church of Christ filed a lawsuit in Davidson County Circuit Court last Thursday, asking a judge to determine which parts of the deed are valid and which are not. It's currently unclear if Otter Creek can use all parts of the property or only some in the same way. The deed says that some portions are, quote, restricted from the use of instrumental music in worship services, as well as from using any innovations and invention and devices of men, says Otter Creek's complaint. The debate over the deed is a representative of a larger disagreement in the Churches of Christ denomination. That's the language of the article, but I kept that in there because that's what they put. Larger disagreement in the Churches of Christ denomination about whether congregants can use instruments during worship or only sing a cappella. Otter Creek acquired the property along West End Avenue in September 2020 from its previous longtime owner, West End Church of Christ. As a result, Otter Creek also inherited a deed from 1943 that includes a complicated and ambiguous clause about how the owner uses certain plots. The deed for the property, drafted more than a decade prior to the actual construction of the church, according to county assessor records, states that the property's owner must, quote, work and worship only as required in the New Testament, end quote. But the deed isn't specific about what forms of technology can or cannot be used on the property. Furthermore, the deed's restrictive language isn't valid anymore because West End Church of Christ first introduced innovations and devices of men, the complaint says, pointing out the inconsistencies between the deed and the previous owner's actions. Now, for most people in the religious world, this probably seems like a silly dispute. The vast majority of churches in the religious world use instrumental music in their worship. And most religious people see absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. One of the distinctive characteristics that is common among Churches of Christ is that they do not use instrumental music in their worship. Generally speaking, obviously, we're reading about this story with the Otter Creek Church of Christ. They're wanting to bring in instruments. So it's not universal. There are some churches that claim to be Churches of Christ who do use instrumental music. But generally speaking, that's one of the distinctive features of Churches of Christ compared to the other churches in the religious world, that they don't use instrumental music in their worship. Now, if you're listening to this episode and you're not familiar with this idea, you may be wondering why these churches don't use instrumental music. You may have grown up, like most religious people, in a church where instruments were used in worship, and you grew up in that setting all your life, and you've never heard any reason why someone wouldn't do that, or why a church shouldn't do that. Now, I can't speak for all Churches of Christ. After all, the congregations are truly independent and autonomous. So each one may have their own reasons why they do or don't do something that they will give as the reason. But I can explain my reasoning and the reasoning of the congregation where I am a member as to why we don't use musical instruments in our worship. But instead, we simply engage in congregational singing. So there are basically 4 points that I just want to outline briefly. We're not going to get into an in-depth discussion of this, but I just want to, especially if this is a new idea for you, just explain why a congregation would make a decision not to use instrumental music. So there's 4 reasons I want to briefly highlight. Number one, our goal is to worship God as He desires. As Jesus said in John 4:24, this is in spirit and truth. God is seeking people who will worship Him in spirit and truth. To worship Him in truth is to worship according to His Word, since His Word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus identified the Word as truth. So we want to worship God as He desires. The second reason is that we know that churches in the first century, those churches that are found in the New Testament that were under the direction of the apostles, who were divinely guided by the Holy Spirit to reveal what the Lord wanted to be imparted to the disciples. We see this in passages like John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. The apostles were under the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. They were revealing the Lord's will. They were teaching Christians and churches how they were to conduct themselves, how were they were to work and worship. Those churches, what we know about what they did was that they engaged in singing in their worship. Ephesians 5:19, Paul gave the instruction that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. A parallel passage is in Colossians 3 and verse 16, where Paul said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God." So the second reason is that we know the churches in the New Testament engaged in singing. The third reason is that we are told to do all things by the authority of Christ. Colossians 3:17, the very next verse after that one that we cited about singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God, Paul said in verse 17, the very next verse, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Why do we do that? Why are we to do all things by the authority of Christ, or in his name, which is what that means? It means by his authority. It's because all authority, Jesus says, has been given to him in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28, verse 18. So we are to do all things by the authority of Christ. And the fourth reason that I want us to think about here is that while we know that churches in the first century engaged in singing in their worship, there is no New Testament command or statement or example or inference that would indicate that any of those churches used instrumental music in worship. Therefore, we have no reason to conclude that the use of instrumental music in worship is authorized by Christ and accepted by him in worship. We can't go to the New Testament to show that, yes, this is what the Lord is pleased with. This is what he expects us to do. There's nowhere in the New Testament that we can go to point that. And there's more that we could say on that point about instrumental music. And rather than getting further into that issue, I'll just refer you to a couple of links in the show notes. One is an article on this topic. The other is a sermon outline that talks about singing versus instrumental music. But the reason why churches of Christ generally do not use instrumental music in worship, it's not a matter of preference. It's also not a matter of tradition that, well, this is just how we've always done it. It's not a matter of tradition. Instead, it comes down to an understanding of the authority of Christ and a desire to be limited to what we know is pleasing to him, rather than starting to do things that we might assume will be pleasing to him. In addition to those links that I already talked about singing or instrumental music, I'm also linking to a couple of articles that are about authority in general, because it talks more about that idea about doing what we know is pleasing to the Lord rather than what we might assume would be pleasing to him. But besides the issue of instrumental music, there's also the issue of this land deed that was talked about in the article. When it was created, the ones who wrote that put what we might call a creed in the deed and attempted to require future generations to follow that rule. And as the article pointed out, the author of that deed is likely dead. So I don't want to pass judgment on his motives, or if it was a group of people who were involved in this, I don't want to pass judgments on their motives. Though I would assume that this was probably done with the best of intentions. However, putting something like that in the deed is not going to work. And it's not going to work simply because people will always find a way to do what they want to do in religion, whether that's good or bad. People will always find a way to do what they want to do. Now, in the early days of plain Bible teaching, back when I was trying more to recruit other writers, and I've since got away from that, but back in the early days, I was trying to find other people who would write occasionally on plain Bible teaching. And I had an article from those early days from Larry DeVore, who was in a lot of ways a mentor of mine. He's since passed on, but he wrote an article in 2007 that's posted on Plain Bible Teaching about this topic. And in that article, he referred to something that happened at the Richland Hills Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. And that article that he wrote is linked in the show notes. But in that article, and on that occasion, you had the prohibition of instrumental music in the church's articles of incorporation. But that did not prevent them from adding a Saturday evening service with communion being offered on Saturday evening and instrumental music in their worship. In that article, Brother DeVore concluded this. He said, "It is impossible to write a creed in the deed if brethren are determined to introduce unscriptural innovations." We need to hold fast to the pattern that is found in the New Testament, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13. We are to do all things by the authority of Christ, as we already noticed in Colossians 3:17, and worship God in spirit and truth in John 4:24. So whatever may or may not be written in a land deed or in some articles of incorporation, if a church has those, it does not change what our responsibility is. So rather than looking to the religious world around us, let's look to the Word of God as our guide, showing us what we ought to be doing, what the Lord would be pleased with us doing, what we know what he will accept. And let's simply strive to do all things in such a way that we could be pleasing to Him. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the news story that we cited, as well as the other relevant links that we mentioned, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/110421. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. And if you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or would be interested in the podcast as a whole, please share this with them. I would appreciate that. And if you see a news story or some current topic that you think might make for a good discussion, please email the link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.